The alarm clock is ready to ring for the periodical cicadas of Lake County. The previous mass emergence of these impressive bugs in 2007 set the alarm for 2024. During spring and summer 17 years ago, millions of cicadas tunneled out of the soil, crawled up trees, sang, mated, and completed their life cycle. This will be a magical year for their offspring. I'm Brett Pito, and this is Words of the Woods, a show about nature and history from the Lake County Forest Preserves in Libertyville, Illinois. Special edition, 17 years, 64 degrees, 100 decibels. The emergence of periodical cicadas. There are 190 known types of cicadas in North America, and at least 3,000 species globally. All species of cicadas belong in the scientific order Hemiptera, a group of insects known as true bugs. A common trait among them is a beak used to drink fluids. Most cicadas have life cycles of 2 to 5 years. Since species overlap geographically and aren't synchronized, we observe some cicadas every summer. These are called annual cicadas. Periodical cicadas live 13 or 17 years. Three 17-year species live in Lake County. Linnaeus's 17-year cicada, Cassin's periodical cicada, and the Decula periodical cicada. They're harmless to humans and pets, and they don't bite or sting. Adults measure about 1.5 inches long. Except for different orange-brown stripes on their undersides, the species look identical. Learning their distinctive songs is the best identification method. Linnaeus's 17-year cicada produces a droning call that sounds like someone saying the word pharaoh, as in Egyptian pharaoh, with the first syllable extended, pharaoh. Some observers say it sounds more like wee-oo. Cassin's periodical cicada makes a quick burst of sound, followed by some rapid clicks. The Decula periodical cicada produces a call with a tick, tick, tick rhythm that ends in less buzzy S sounds, called lisps. A brood is a group of cicadas that emerge together at regular intervals. Brood numbers are written as Roman numerals. Lake County's periodical cicadas are in brood 13, spanning portions of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Nationwide, there are 12 broods of 17-year cicadas and 3 broods of 13-year cicadas. American Indians observed cicadas centuries before Europeans arrived. A 1634 journal entry by William Bradford, then governor of New England's Plymouth Colony, documented cicadas. It is to be observed that the spring before this sickness, there was a numerous company of flies, which were like for bigness unto wasps or bumblebees, Bradford wrote. They came out of little holes in the ground and did eat up the green things, and made such a constant yelling noise as made the woods ring of them, and ready to deafen the hearers. Brood 13's 17-year emergence coincides with that of Brood 19's 13-year emergence for the first time since 1803, when Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States. Tecumseh's Confederacy, a confederation of American Indians living in the Great Lakes region, also began forming in the early 19th century. Brood 19 contains 4 cicada species on a 13-year cycle. Nicknamed the Great Southern Brood, it covers portions of central and southern Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South and North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky. broods 13 and 19 will overlap most near Springfield, Illinois. They won't meet again until the year 2245. Six to 10 weeks after their parents' demise, trillions of rice-shaped eggs hatch where their mothers laid them, inside shallow, V-shaped grooves near the tips of tree branches. The young, pale nymphs fall from trees and burrow into the ground. There, they spend 17 years drinking sap, first from grass roots, then from deciduous tree roots. Since sap is nutrient poor, the nymphs grow slowly during this phase. Like humans, nymphs take almost 2 decades to reach maturity. In their homes 8 to 12 inches underground, they shed their brown exoskeletons, or protective shells, several times. When ready for the final stage of their life cycle, 2 factors nudge the nymphs to begin their ancestors' mating rituals. First, they sense the upward flow of sap, needed to sprout new springtime leaves, from the tree's roots toward their crowns. Then, in late May and early June, once the temperature of the upper 8 inches of soil reaches 64 degrees Fahrenheit, the nymphs dig skyward. They don't emerge simultaneously. South-facing locations with plentiful sunlight will see the early bugs. Over several weeks, the cicadas will debut in such numbers they'll be impossible to ignore. Rather, they should be celebrated. Last year, we commissioned Samantha Gallagher, a local freelance illustrator, to create 11 original illustrations depicting the cicada life cycle. At her home studio in Lake County, the artist uses colored pencils, pastels, and textured paper to showcase cicadas, bees, moths, and more. In second grade, Samantha's enthusiasm for insects earned her a nickname, the Bee Girl.
I felt like I needed to get more people to realize how cool bugs were, and people were especially scared of bees, and I really liked bees. And so at some point in second grade, I got like the whole class to be obsessed with bees, which was kind of funny. They even were calling me like the Bee Girl, and other kids' parents who didn't even know me just knew of this kid in the school that was the Bee Girl, and that was me.
In adulthood, Samantha earned a bachelor's degree in graphic design and a master's degree in entomology, the study of insects. She blends them in her work today as a freelance scientific illustrator. Before pressing pencil to paper, Samantha consults insect specimens and reference photos and visits local natural areas, including the forest preserves. The research phase can take a full day per illustration. She composes a digital sketch, traces it on paper, and adds layers of color. Depending on size and complexity, she spends 8 to 20 hours fleshing out each illustration. The results are beautiful, photorealistic works of art.
You gotta make it appealing to people, especially, again, dealing with insects, because people don't like them, so you gotta make it appealing, but you have to make it accurate. A lot of, like, I don't know, I can't imagine thinking a cicada is not cute and adorable, but a lot of people think they're disgusting, so you kind of have to, you know, make them look charismatic and appealing and interesting.
Samantha encourages observers to try to coexist during the emergence. Cicadas are not going to hurt you, and this happens once every 17 years.
To imagine just sitting in a dark room kind of by yourself for that long and just like eating once in a while, it's really kind of a sad thing to think about. So the fact that they only get like, I don't know, a couple weeks, a month or two of glory after that like dark period, just waiting and waiting and waiting, like, you know, don't squish them, be nice to them because they waited so long for this.
You can see Samantha's illustrations on display at a special exhibition at the Dunn Museum in Libertyville from April 27th to August 4th, 2024. You can also see her work in our Spring 2024 issue of Horizons, the Forest Preserve's award-winning quarterly magazine. Read online at lcfpd.org/horizons. or visit one of our facilities to pick up a copy. Let's get back to the cicada life cycle. We left off right before the nymphs were about to emerge. Once they're ready to go, the nymphs dig exit holes at the soil's surface, sometimes ringed by short chimneys. Soft spring showers help the process along. That's according to Dr. Gene Kritsky, Professor Emeritus of Biology at Mount St. Joseph University in Ohio.
Temperature reaches 64 degrees Fahrenheit in the soil, that's going to vary. A south-facing exposure is going to be hit 64 degrees before the north-facing exposure. That's why it takes 2 weeks for it all to come out. Then if you get a nice soaking rain just to soften things up, that's when they really pop.
Gene, who's sometimes called the Indiana Jones of cicadas, has devised a formula predicting the start of emergences.
I have a formula I developed and published a few years ago that's 90% accurate predicting. It uses April's average temperatures to predict when in May the cicadas should emerge, plus or minus a 48-hour period. So I can tell you a 5-day window when they're going to come out.
Come nighttime, nymphs clamber up trees and other vertical surfaces. As if divers extracting themselves from wetsuits, they split open their exoskeletons once more.
They slowly pull the skins here. They split the skin. They start pull themselves out, eventually hang almost totally upside down, pull themselves free, and then expand the wings. Then they come out this sort of white adult, and then takes another, and then turn black. This whole process, getting to this point here where they're out on the tree, is about 90 minutes. It takes another 90 minutes for them to turn black.
In this teneral, or soft phase, their squishy bodies are opaque white and yellow. Two black patches resembling a football player's face paint mark their thorax, the middle part of their body. Perhaps most arresting are their red eyes with black pupils. As Gene said, the cicadas expand their double pairs of orange-veined wings. Over 90 more minutes, their bodies harden and darken. Now adults, the cicadas crawl to the treetops.
After they turn black, they crawl to the tops of the trees, because they're still not fully developed. The exoskeleton hasn't hardened enough yet that they can actually sing or they can even fly. They'll start flying over the next day or so, but they won't start singing between 4 and 5 days after they emerge.
During daytime, chorusing centers of male cicadas sing using abdominal organs called timbals, T-Y-M-B-A-L-S. Timbals expand and contract like bendy straws, producing clicks that swell into songs. The male's abdomen amplifies his calls to 90 to 100 decibels, as loud as a motorcycle. With up to 1.5 million cicadas per acre, the atmosphere will buzz with the peak of 17 years of patience.
The males gather in large numbers in trees. They're called chorusing centers. The chorus attracts females who are ready to mate. And when a male or a female gets close to each other, they have a mating call. The male makes a call. The female can't call, but she flicks her wings to show that she's interested. He walks closer. He sings again. She flicks her wings. And then they get close. As soon as he's close enough to touch her, they'll have to go to a second call without a break where she can't flick her wings. And then he has a third call while he's actually doing the actual process of doing the nasty. After mating, she will, not necessarily right away, but the next couple of days, go through the process of laying her eggs. She will have between 400 and 600 eggs. On average, it's about 500. I had a student actually count them for me. We counted until she got to 30,000. We counted the average number of eggs for three different broods, but at the average is like 509, but the range is 400 to 600.
The female uses her ovipositor, or egg tube, to make cuts along branches. Mature trees in full sunshine surrounded by low vegetation are ideal.
That's why you tend to find more cicadas in parks and cemeteries and preserves, because that's the ideal habitat for them. The eggs take, as I said earlier, 6 to 10 weeks to hatch. That all starts over, all molting starts over again.
The symphony will continue for 4 to 6 weeks into July until the adults die. When the eggs hatch and nymphs drop to the ground, the alarm will be set for 2041. So why did periodical cicadas evolve such long life cycles? They give the insect an edge over its predators, which typically have shorter life cycles. The crunchy buffet represents a survival strategy called predator satiation. It's safety in numbers. So many cicadas surface that predators, including birds, reptiles, mammals, frogs, and fish, can't eat all of them. It's likely enough nymphs will survive to keep the cycle going. The food bonanza has been shown to boost the populations of certain bird species, such as red-bellied woodpeckers and blue jays, by 10% for 1 to 3 years following a cicada emergence. Cicada bodies are also nitrogen-rich. After death, they decompose on the ground and provide nutrients to plants. Some cicadas, known as stragglers, emerge in smaller groups 1 or 4 years earlier than their brood, or even 4 years later. Though rare, occasionally enough stragglers reproduce to start a new brood. This is called an acceleration. In 2020, this occurred in southeastern Lake County and northeastern Cook County. If the group reemerges in the year 2037, it will be known as Brood 9. Most people will only see periodical cicadas emerge a handful of times in their lives. This will be just the second emergence to occur during my lifetime. When the next one arrives in 17 years, I'll be 47 years old. That realization has made the emergence feel even more special. It's grounded my curiosity for what the future may hold, more than many other things have managed to do in recent years. Where will I be in 2041? What will I be doing? Will I be here to see the cicadas again? These are unanswerable right now, but for that last one, I certainly hope so. Like the nymphs that will hatch this summer, I'll have to wait 17 years to find out. And that's all part of the fun. So, what should you do during the emergence? Well, take some time to experience the magic. Enjoy this fantastic natural phenomenon and try to coexist peacefully. Your forest preserves, plus parks, yards, some neighborhoods, and even cemeteries, will be cicada hotspots. Want to help track the emergence? Report your observations at lcfpd.org/cicadas. Also, join us at public programs and events from April to June, including Cicada Fest on June 9th, 2024, at Ryerson Conservation Area in Riverwoods. See lcfpd.org/cicada programs. And plan your visit to the Dunn Museum in Libertyville to experience the special exhibition Celebrating Cicadas, open April 27th to August 4th, 2024. Visit lcfpd.org/museum. This episode of Words of the Woods was written, hosted, and produced by me, Brett Pito, featuring research and expertise from Mark Hurley, April Voss, Samantha Gallagher, and Dr. Jean Kritsky at Mount St. Joseph University. Script editing by Rebecca Snyder, Gina Martinucci, and Kim Mikus. Music from Soundstripe. Cicada audio copyright Dr. Jean Kritsky and songsofinsects.com. Audio editing and mixing by me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Would you mind rating and reviewing our podcast? You can see everything the Forest Preserves is up to on social media at LCFPD. Don't forget to sign up for Horizons, the Forest Preserve's award-winning quarterly magazine, at lcfpd.org/horizons. Print subscriptions are free, and issues are always available online. Want to contact us, or rather, contact me, with questions or comments? The show's email is wordsofthewoods@lcfpd.org. Words of the Woods is a production of the Lake County Forest Preserves in Libertyville, Illinois. Thanks for listening.